Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Achtung Millwall supports the Lions Food Hub. This is a friendly local food hub. It's based in Bermondsey. It's run by our very own Kelly Webster of the Millwall Lionesses, a very well-known Millwall fan. They do need supplies, dear listeners. Before we get into the show today, they have posted they need tinned meat, they need toiletries, they need soup, they need tinned fruit and veg. If you can help in any way, they are on Twitter, at Lions Food Hub. DM them. You can DM me at Achtung Millwall and I will pass on any help and information that we can. Lions Food Hub, at Lions Food Hub. Thank you for listening. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Achtung Millwall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no substitute.
Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to a special midweek edition of Achtung Millwall. I've got a special guest with us. I think you come on about once a year or so, Graham, but big welcome to Graham Payne. How are you doing, mate?
Good, mate. Good to be back on the show, yeah.
I'm using Graham, listeners, as my kind of psychiatrist couch to just get a few things off my chest, really, I suppose. We were just saying off air, Graham, we did a show on Saturday after we got beat, obviously, by 3-0 by Swansea. And it's quite a hard thing to record in the very immediate aftermath of a game. And we're just saying, I thought maybe we came across, or I came across a touch negatively. So I thought maybe, Graham, I'm bringing you in as the voice of reason there, mate, to try and
That's fine.
Take a view on the season. I don't know whether you want that role, but anyway, that's the one we've thrust upon you, mate. It's been a funny old season, Graham. I mean, you know, it's a cliche, mate, isn't it? But it's been nothing like it ever before. I've got nothing to compare it with in my 40, nearly 50 years of support. No one will, because it's never been a season played behind closed doors. And I don't know if you'd agree, mate, but Millwall are not a television club. I don't think we...
We're not a television club. Definitely. No, 100%.
We're a live experience, or we're nothing like a band. Yeah. You know, some bands never made it big in the studio, but are live brilliant, and that's Millwall for me. It doesn't work as a TV experience. We just never seem to. I don't know. It's just you can watch. You know, it's like Champions League night tonight, and somehow that's a TV experience. But we're not, are we? We don't work on a TV screen.
No, we don't, and that's really the main issue of the season. Really, why it's been. It's just not work for us on TV, and for one, can't wait for it if we can get back to some normality next season. But I also agree with, I think it's Harry has said previously, Millwall fans don't like mid-table mediocrity. You'd rather be, it's either a relegation battle or we're trying to get in the playoffs, you know. But at the start of the season, you would have said, oh, we'll take 10th place.
That's true. I mean, it's a funny point. It's one of the talking points I'd put down on my list here. So you've raised it early because, I think Harry does hit something there. But equally, Graham, I was looking at Twitter last night and there's Rotherham staging something of a comeback. Now, you've got these distraught comments from Derby County, Huddersfield Town fans, Coventry fans, all of whom have got the dead hand of Rotherham kind of clinging onto their neck now as they creep up the table. I do take the point. I think Harry's gone to something, and I think you're, you know, you're saying the same thing. But equally, relegation, well, it wouldn't be disastrous for us because I don't think we're committed, overcommitted. But it wouldn't be helpful. It would hurt.
I think it would be disastrous myself because, you know, to go back down to League One now, I don't think, you know, that's where we'd want to be. And I mean, you know, there was that obviously the bad period of where was it 2 wins in 19 or 13, and I was getting a bit concerned. I thought we were going to get dragged back into it. And I think he really changed it around when we won at Huddersfield after the Notts Forest debacle, and then it sort of picked up from there. But yeah, I mean, do you ever think we was in for a chance of the playoffs? I know every win you think, oh, we're back in it. But I don't know. I mean, we haven't got a centre forward, have we?
There's two things lacking, Graham, in my opinion. One is obviously the goal scoring issue or the lack of. I mean, the idea that Jed and Mason Bennett can form a partnership. I don't think that's viable. It really stood out for me Saturday. I don't know if you saw the game Saturday, but I thought we lacked aerial threat. We lacked Matt Smith cloned with one or other of those two players would be a wonderful player, but you're not going to get that. You know, he gives what he gives and they give what they give, but you do need a striker. I thought
Matt Smith. Ken's a horse body, I would have think, because
Ken's a horse body. Matt Smith's attitude,
yeah, and Ken's a horse physique because he can get about, but half the time he just doesn't want to know, does he? It's blatantly obvious that, well, to me, looking in, he doesn't want to be at Millwall, and he's probably looking at the fact that West Brom are going to probably get relegated, and he'll be back in the Championship with them next season, I would have thought.
Yeah, I mean, I know nothing of Kenzo Hoare at all, to be honest. He, I mean, again, one of the problems with the TV experience or the iFollow iPad experience and all the rest of it is you don't really get a sense of a player. But he strikes me, looking on from the distance we're at, Graham, as a very modern kind of footballer that struggles to get out of bed in the morning, even though he's built like a gym machine and he's ultra fit and he's got talent. He showed that in flashes. But it's like he needs a rocket up his arse. You know, I don't know what motivates a player like that. And you contrast that with Matt Smith, who's much more your traditional English centre forward good at some things, not so good at others. But, you know, the attitude of a Matt Smith, that never say die, which is very, very Millwall, that's what's missing from the likes of Kenzo Hoare. And I think, possibly, I'm interested to see what you think, from a lot of the other striking contenders that we might go for over the summertime, because you want someone that can be asked to get out of bed in the morning that does see themselves as in being in a fortunate profession. Don't think Ken does. I think you're searching for that in a player, in my opinion, at Millwall.
And you're spot on, Nick, with the type of the player that Millwall are going to be able to afford. You know, what we're going to get, and that is the big issue for me looking forward to in the summer and next season. To me, we definitely need probably two forwards.
I'd say two. Because, I mean, the current strike force, I mean, just run through them. I've listed a few of them out here just as a point of conversation. I mean, if you leave aside Zohor, who's not our player, you're into the kind of the comic cuts, aren't you? You've got John Daddy, one goal in I don't know how long. I mean, you know, Tom Bradshaw, I think, is a much more willing striker, but lacks the, you know, it's a fine art at this level, finishing, isn't it? You know, and I think he needs more chances than he's going to get. For all the running in the world, he won't give you the goals. And I think our problem, we touched on it on Saturday when I was speaking to Harry, is that thing of affording the quality and getting the attitude that we demand at Millwall. Jed Wallace's are rare players. I mean, I think Jed is a very old fashioned player in many respects, as he does give you 100%. And I know he can be indulgent. He's annoyed me at times in the course of this season, but I'll always forgive him because he does things that he's a cross the road player. You would get out of your bed, you cross the road, and you go and pay money to watch Jed Wallace, when other players you wouldn't, you know.
Whenever he gets stick online, I always stick up for him because, you know, at the end of the day, all right, he does some bad things, but he is someone you know, who plays with his heart, wants to play for Millwall and gives it his all. And, you know, to me, what more can you want? But then I was just reading yesterday that he's, I didn't know his contract's up next summer. And they're trying to get him to sign a new contract now, aren't they?
But, yeah, there's so a story on the News at Den, in contract conversations, which is a good thing. I mean, I would imagine, I don't know. I mean, Jed's got to, as a professional footballer, you've got to balance two things, Graham. You've got your own interests to look after. Jed is, he must be late 20s now. I don't know his age, but he must be coming to that point where you think you haven't got many more contract periods to go before you fall into the League One zone, you know. So he's probably going to be thinking the next one's really got to, he's got to make it count. I hope Millwall can make it count. But it's going to be an interesting storyline as that unfolds.
I think what may swing it either way is what sort of signings we make in the summer. Where our ambitions lie. I mean, Gary Rowett's talking that he's had a chat with him. Like, that was on that News at Den article. You know, I think that's going to be the telling point where Millwall's ambitions are, really, to be honest.
I think Jed's flowered with this more freer role. I don't know if that's the right expression. He's kind of given license to go where he sees the opportunity in the game. I quite like that. So I don't think he's the greatest winger we've ever seen, Graham. I mean,
he's crossing the time, isn't it? He's poor, isn't it? He's crossing. When you compare it to someone like who, I still won't give up on him, Mahoney. If Colin Mahoney puts a ball in, and normally, you know, if Matt Smith's playing, it's on his head, isn't it?
Yeah.
Obviously, the thing with Colin Mahoney is not consistent enough, and obviously he's been out injured for a while. But, yeah, Jed's crossing is not on a par with that. And perhaps what you're saying about the freer role is better for him.
Possibly. I mean, you know, and I think you're right. I mean, it's going to be an interesting story that I think unfolds over the summer season ahead. We'll see on that front. I'm just looking at the table of top scorers. I mean, Jed leads the scoring, and this has been an issue all season for the club, his lack of goals. So he's our top scorer at the moment with 9 goals. Then you've got Mason Bennett, who I think has done well, and I like him, and I think there's more to come from Mason Bennett, but I don't think he's not the answer to our striking conundrum, Graham. I think
that was a worrying thing. I think you mentioned that on Saturday about Gary Rowett saying it might be a change of plans because how well these two are doing. I don't want to be doing things like that.
After how many years you've been going Millwall? I mean, I know I've been
1976.
Well, there we are. It's the old story, isn't it? Ever heard this one before, get your listeners? You know, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could get a cut price Jed and Mason strike force that scored the goals? But I mean, Mason is second on 6 goals, so he's done well. But I think he's an assist man and an opportunist scorer. But he's not going to be the striking solution. Then you've got Scott Malone. I mean, he's actually on loan, so I'm hoping that'll be
he's one player who has changed. I've changed my opinion of him. It was when he came back last summer, I wasn't that keen.
No.
I remember him the first time around, but no, I'd be more than happy if he signed a contract.
Well, last time, we had Scott Malone back in about 10 years ago, just short of that, probably 8 or 9 years ago, he was at the club. And I remember him being one of these players that thought he was Premier League quality. And he has gone on, you know, he has played at that level. So maybe he was right. All I can remember was him wearing a very kind of dodgy looking suit, walking across the car park with no socks and a pair of shoes on. But I'm told that's style. So what do I know? Okay. You know, but I thought that's not the Millwall I know. You know, you put a pair of socks on with your shoes. But yeah, I mean, and then you know you're down to Matt Smith. I mean, I would love Matt Smith to stay on. How do you see Matt Smith, Grant? Would you want to see him?
Retain definitely for another year.
Yeah,
I don't know what he wants though. Would he want to stay for another year, just being a bit part? He might. There's an impact sub. And I think you've mentioned that previously, Nick. That's how I'd see.
I should keep trying to sell Matt, if he's listening, the idea of, because he's doing his BMA student course at Manchester. So, you know, it's an ideal part-time job coming on for half hour at the end of Millwall matches when we need goals. So I'm hoping someone's listening out there from the club and Matt and put this idea together, because I think it's an ideal solution. Then you're into the Tom Bradshaws. He's actually not done that bad, Graham. I mean, 4 goals from 11 starts and 18 subs. But he comes on with just minutes to go, so he's still scratched 4 out of the season. I don't know. I can't remember which games they were, but he's a willing boy. But he's not. He's never ignited, has he, Tom Bradshaw?
No. He was bought in to replace Gregory, wasn't it, I think?
Gregory, yeah. Well, it was Gregory was wanting to go back up north. And Harris signed him, didn't he? And I think he got injured, didn't he? And I think that maybe took an edge off of his game. I don't know. But it's never really happened for him. But it does seem to... These late substitutions, like with literally minutes to go, 2 minutes, they always fascinate me. I suppose you get an appearance fee for coming out. I can only ever presume it's something like that, keep them interested in some way, because it doesn't seem to serve much playing purpose, does it, coming on at 90 plus 2 for the last 2 minutes.
It's funny, we discuss, obviously, with my friend, mates, that the fact that Varson always comes on about 70 minutes, Bradshaw never gets that. And Bradshaw must think, well, how's he getting on? He's not going to get you.
I mean, John Daddy is one of the... I mean, Scalak's gone now, so we don't have him to throw darts at on our dartboard. But maybe I should produce a John Daddy dartboard. I don't know. But he is one of these players, and you think, well, what? I don't get the football thinking now. I genuinely don't. I mean, one of the points I was going to get your view on, Graham, is, you know, we at Millwall love to see our own coming through, and we've seen obviously Ben Thompson in over the last few years, and now Danny Mack, who I think is a real prospect, and Billy Mitch, who I think also is a real prospect. And not every youth player succeeds, Graham, so, you know, you always have to be... We're a bit sentimental, I think, at Millwall. Yeah. We love to see, I don't know, old players getting coaching roles when you might other clubs go much more ruthlessly and bring in foreign coaches or players, you know, names that we don't know. Whereas we always want to see, Alan Dunn coming back and keep him on the payroll. Something like that, you know. So we haven't seen enough of the youth to come through. But I do wonder... I mean, we've only got 5 games of the season. It is a dead rubber season now. So I can't... If they're going to get run outs now, time on the pitch, then when will they? I mean, the football manager's mind's a strange thing, isn't it? I don't get what the John Daddy fascination is over, say, I don't know, a Tyler Bury or, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That's my feeling. The same with Hayden Muller, Alex Pearce, or...
Yeah.
You know, Tientz has now gone on loan to Sutton.
Why
not? Apparently he's going to get a few games there because their season obviously was hot. I don't know.
They're doing well. They're near the top of the National League, aren't they? So they're doing well. Yeah. It's an interesting... I don't know. I mean, Hayden Muller, I mean, again, another... You know, it may be that he'd be out of his depth at the Championship level. I don't know. But you won't really know that until you see him start.
You've got 5 games, Nick, that are just... They're
friends.
Some top sides. We've got Brentford, Watford, and Bournemouth out in them 5. But, you know, I don't see, no disrespect to him, but I don't see the point of playing Alex Pearce any longer because, you know, it's done, isn't it? And we need to move on.
It's just one of the things that fascinated me about it wasn't fascination, it was frustration, I think, with the selection on Saturday. I mean, I can understand Gary Rowett wanting to finish in top 10. I mean, we achieved 8th last season. He's probably got his eye on that. He will want 8th position to maintain his CV track record. So, you know, there's probably going to be limits. We you and me can wax lyrical about the kids and playing Hayden Muller and all the rest of it, but it's his job. So, what I don't and didn't understand Saturday is the Alex Pearce question, because we've got George Evans, who looks a very cultured midfielder, and I think he's probably better off in midfield, but he can play in defence. Why is he not taking
the opposite, Nick? I think he's better in defence.
Do you? You're rating him there.
I think he gets lost in midfield, where at the back he can get the ball and spray the ball. You know, if you're going to have that 3 at the back, then you've got to have one that can do that. And I think he's better suited there. But obviously, I think Rowett sees him as a midfield player, reading between the lines.
Yeah.
But I would definitely have played him there Saturday. And either Woods maybe come back into midfield, you know. But I didn't understand the playing Alex Pearce there.
One of the big controversies of the season that crops up a lot on our shows, Graham, I wanted to, I think Harry sometimes cops it online for being anti. I don't know if he's anti Row. In fairness to him, I'm speaking on his behalf here a little bit. But some of the tactics. It's been a tough watch. I think most of us, whether you're pro or anti or whatever, where you put yourself on the spectrum, this has not been an entertaining season to watch for many reasons. But partly one of those reasons has been the very what's the word I'm searching for? The tactics have been very functional, haven't they? I mean, I don't know what other options he's had. How do you see Gary Rowett and how do you find his football?
Yeah, it's funny. When he first came in, I thought it was refreshing. And I'm talking about the home games to start with. We would go at teams. I go back to, I think we beat Luton 3-1. And then it all sort of changed after that. There was some, before we went into lockdown, there were some draws at home with, I think, 0-0 with Birmingham and the draw with Bristol City. And then once we come out of lockdown, then I suppose watching it on the telly, it is very functional and it can be very boring. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
But I also agree with, I was never row it out. I didn't go that far. I thought some of it was a bit over the top, to be honest. My problem is that Kenny, if he gets the players he wants in the summer, will the tactics change? That's my, question. Will we see a different brand of football?
I think he's everything you read about his past career as in management says that he favours the counter punch, doesn't it? You know, to use a boxing analogy, you kind of hit teams on the break, and there's a lot of teams around that do that. And I think if you do it well, it's a very effective style. What it doesn't do, and I think this is where Saturday's performance frustrated me so much, because, we were playing Swansea coming in on the back of a run of poor form on their part, but they're a decent side. They're a passing side. They can hurt you. But we went a goal down. But what we don't do there, Graham, once we're behind, is we don't seem to have the depth or the nous or whatever you want to call it to adapt. We sat back and then they got the second and then in due course the third and the game was long gone. And I think that's probably my main gripe. I don't know if criticism or whatever you want to call it. We don't adapt to games. We don't unless Matt Smith's coming in, we've got nothing else, have we?
When we go 1-0 down, it seems that's when we struggle, especially. I know it doesn't really matter at the moment, but it seems to be more home game.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Achtung, Mehlball.
It's funny because we were saying about, I go back to, I know I'm just going off the subject a bit, but one of the guys who scored the two goals on Saturday, Jamal Lowe.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Him and Kiefer Moore were two we were agreed fees with last summer. And obviously they both decided to go elsewhere. Yeah. Now, I think if we'd have got them two in,
high quality strikers there. I mean, I know these Lowe has had some off field issues and he hadn't scored and then but you saw that you saw the boy's quality in the finishes that he put in the net there. I mean, these there's a couple of things. I mean, the season's been blighted by injury. We've lost players that have really made themselves pretty much indispensable, like Ryan Leonard. Smith is now not, I mean, in his way, I think he's been indispensable in a sense because he's produced goals. But then injuries happen, and we're going to get injuries next season. There's nothing particularly unique in that way about this campaign. So, yes, we've had some strategic injuries. Conor Mahoney, one of the creative players we've got, has been out for some time, and Billy Mitchell had a knock at the start of the season. But you kind of got to, you know, to a degree, you've got to go with that because that's football, and that's going to happen again. I do wonder, I mean, this is going to be a big summertime, I think, for Gary Rowett because, you know, we've had the season that we've had. We will be finishing, and even if we get beat all five games, we're going to be finishing in the top half of the table, which is no mean achievement for Millwall. I sometimes think the online crowd, Graham, don't appreciate the history of our club where we've been for so many years. I mean, to finish in the top half of Division 2, is historically a very good achievement for us. It doesn't seem to cut much mustard with people, younger people.
I think that's the world we live in now. You know, with social media, you lose a game and it's
suicide.
That's it.
I wanted to ask you about your favourite player of the season because it's the votes going. I don't know if you voted yet. Who did you go for? May I ask if that's not too intrusive?
I went for Sean Hutchinson. I just think he's been very consistent all through the season.
Another injury now, incidentally, while we're on the subject. That's a good choice. I mean, he was a player of the season a couple of years ago, I think, wasn't he? Always a good. I mean, I don't know what his value would be in the market. Let's hope he's not for sale. But he's one of those players. He's a Millwall player through and through, I think, Sean Hutchinson. I would certainly... I mean, I'd say the same about Jake Cooper, Graham. Another player. Gives you everything. I mean, the commitment of those two central defenders is gold dust, really. I mean, I voted for Jed Wallace myself, just purely on the basis... there's a lot of, you know, our main standout players would be defensive. I mean, I've seen Bart leading a poll, online poll, and then Sean Hutchinson, and I think Jake's in the frame. And, you know, all of those are very, very good calls. No one's going to knock Bart Bielkowski getting the award and Jake possibly and Sean. But it's just nice to get a creative player. Maybe we haven't scored the goals to justify it. I think probably that will hold us back on that or hold him back on that particular award. But... I mean, Sean Hutchinson, I mean, his defensive loss on Saturday was evident, wasn't it? Poor old Alex Pearce coming into play. So I've got a few pre-prepped questions. I've got one, I can suggest it for you if you can't think of it, but performance of the season, have you had any? I struggled with this question, to be honest. I'm so afraid of you. you have it. I was only one decent win all season, so I thought, in fairness, I'd remind you of the 4-1 win over Sheffield Wednesday in early February.
I mean, that was the last half an hour. I think the complete performance was probably, I think, Preston away.
Yeah, we've had a couple of decent away wins, actually, haven't we? Now you say it. The score lines don't really give the credit for the performance. I think Preston there, 2-0, there it is, back in October, in actual fact. I think that's the thing, though, Graham. It's very hard to think of any real standout performances, and that's quite un-Millwall, isn't it, really? You know, we do normally rip someone apart, you know.
Even when we've had a season of struggle, you still think back and think, well, we ripped them, you know, there is one game where we do rip someone apart, but
yeah.
I mean, I suppose the Sheffield Wednesday game, because we got four goals, which again doesn't happen very often at the moment with Millwall. But I think the actual complete performance that night at Preston, considering that Rowett had gone down with COVID as well, and
that's right.
They were very good that night.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, that was the Hawes debut, and you think, well, we've got a player here, and then obviously injuries and whatever, it hasn't worked out. But yeah, I'd go with that as my performance of the season.
That's a good choice. Well, I'd written down the Sheffield Wednesday win, but you're right, actually. That was probably the best all-round show all season, really, in the circumstances that it came in as well. I'm stumbling around. Listeners need to know I've written some notes out on the iPad, and it goes off screen. I find the points and questions that have nothing to do with what we've just been talking about. Ryan Woods, where do you stand on the Ryan Woods question, Graham? Is he your choice, a midfielder? Do you see him? Would you have him next season?
I don't know. If that's my honest answer. I've stuck up for him. Because I remember him, I know it's probably you shouldn't go back, when he was at Brentford, and he came down the den a couple of times and totally controlled the game.
Yeah.
Sat there and sprayed the ball about. Yeah. And I thought, yeah, he's a player. And when we signed him on loan, I thought, yeah, we've got one here. But I don't know if he's what, I know it sounds crazy, but I don't know if he's what we need. Because Ryan Woods needs loads of, to me, needs loads of pace around him, where he can ping balls. And people are moving.
The quarterback kind of role, isn't he? Yeah.
That's exactly it. Yeah. A quarterback. And we haven't got the players, have we?
No we don't. We don't have the pace. We don't have the pace.
Not the pace. That's the
we got rid of our pace when we sold Fred Onyedinma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pace went up the M40 to Wickham. Who, incidentally, they've staged a moderate comeback. They're five, 9 points short of the relegation safety. So it looks like Fred's going to go back to League One at the moment.
I also think his wages would be an issue and all, Nick. I think and what he's probably on at Stoke.
I thought for one moment I thought you meant Fred. I thought I don't want him back.
No, not Fred.
Ryan Woods. Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think he's a lone player all season. I think that I don't know that he's. I thought at times on Saturday we were missing him, but I think that was just the fact that it was a poor choice of 11 on Saturday. I think we wouldn't have missed Ryan Woods, and we won't miss him if we have a full hand of Ryan Leonard next season and the other midfielders around, and Billy Mitchell particularly.
Great substitution when he brought Sean Williams on instead of him on Saturday, whether Woods was carrying a knock.
Yeah, Sean Williams, I don't know.
He came on, didn't he, instead of...
I think, we're flying around the subjects a little bit and going back to Gary
Rowe.
No. Listeners need to know, this is such a short notice show and I did pretty much minimal prep for it, Graham. So this is the esteem in which I hold these conversations. I've got like a scrap of paper with a few random words on it. Just the Gary Rowett substitutions at times have been a point of criticism, and I think it's fair to make these points. I don't think you have to be in the Rowett out brigade, and I'm not in the Rowett out brigade at all. I don't know who else we'd get. I don't know what better there is to be had out there, Graham. And this touches on a thing we were just talking about before we started recording, listeners, about the amount of money required to really make a challenge in this Championship division now. Let's not even think about any higher. I'm just looking at the table and you've got Norwich City some distance now, looking like champions. Watford not far behind, but they're top two. Both teams that seem to command resources that are going to be beyond us. And then Swansea, Brentford, Bournemouth and Barnsley are a bit of a wild card perhaps. But I just wonder, who else would we get? I don't know. I don't know that, that looking at the telly on Saturday, there's Gary Monk sat there next to Neil Harris. So we're not going to go back to Neil Harris. I don't know. We'd be looking at that level of manager, wouldn't we? A Gary Monk or someone like it. And I'm not sure that Gary Rowett is any worse or...
I mean, someone like Gary Monk, how many championship clubs he managed? It's Swansea, Leeds, Sheffield Wednesday, Birmingham.
He's on the roundabout, isn't he? You know, it's like a circular, like a carousel at an airport, you know. There are others out there. But you're picking managers of that ilk. And I don't know that one brings any, they're not going to bring any kind of new levels of excitement to the den, you know. It's going to be a big close season, obviously. As we've said already, it's going to be the signings are going to be crucial, Graham, aren't they?
This is it. This is, to me, is the, you know, it's this is the biggest one we've had in a while with regard to signings. If we don't get anything in, where do we go from there? You know, because we need an uplift of players. That squad, that base of that squad's been together for a few years now.
It does.
You know?
If we're going to progress, we need to freshen it up. That's going to be the task, because to buy quality strikers and quality attacking midfielders or creative players costs a lot of money, unless you're choosing wisely from the far-flung Scottish leagues or non-leagues, I don't know. But that's quite a, you know, maybe go foreign, I don't know. But it's not an easy task. Also, just another point that occurs to me looking at the league table, Graham, there's some, you know, however much you and me moan or other players moan about Millwall, there's some big names below us in this division. You look down that table, I'm thinking of, you know, the Blackburns, Birmingham's, Derby's, Sheffield Wednesday, looking like they're in relegation. Forest. You know, perspective is not an easy thing to come by as a Millwall fan, is it? We lack perspective as a group.
I think we do.
Like a stick of rock. Lack of perspective runs down the middle of us. I think we have the expectation that we're going to compete, and then you look at the resources needed to really compete. We want to do it on, you know, on next to
it goes back to also what I said previously about Jamal Lowe and Kiefer Moore.
Yeah.
Sort of players we'd want, but when it comes into not so much the bidding war, I think we matched the fees are agreed, but it's wages. And that's going to be the issue, isn't it? If other clubs are interested in players that we want, we never seem to get them, do we?
No, no. I mean, obviously, this has been a tough season, financially tough season. John Berylson has...
Yeah.
Sustain the club. Anyone that thinks, you know, I read stuff online sometimes. I don't know what planet some people are on. I don't know how they think football clubs exist with no money. I mean, it's coming from somewhere, and it's coming from his finances. I mean, also the whole the rolling forward of the season. I didn't expect that. I when I bought the season ticket this couple of weeks ago now, isn't it? I thought, you know, it'd be paid for like normal, and I'd done the prep ready for it, but. The rolling forwards of the credit from last year, for those that, I don't know if that was yourself, Graham, but certainly in my case, was, I thought, blimey, that's another big cost taken on the club's
shoulders. Well, that's what I mean. They're selling us the kit they've given out, and they've sold 3,500.
Yeah.
But how much money have they made? Because most of the people have got it. Next to nothing, isn't
it? Well, it's money put in last year. I mean, we've all had our cursed eye follow for nothing in the sense of home games anyway. But no, I mean, I would imagine the bulk of those 3,500 is what you've just said. So I'd imagine that's people rolling the bulk of their I know one or two have put some extra money in, and that's great if you can do that. That's cool. But most of that's going to be money rolled forward. I'm looking forward to August. I mean, I think it's easy to lose your perspectives, as we just said. I think that Millwall's role in this life is to be forever kind of, contenders in whether they're in League One or League Championship or League One or wherever we are. I think we are the kind of eternal underdogs that have always been with a snippy outside chance. I think that's probably the best of Millwall. And hopefully we don't fall into the zone where we're struggling at the bottom of the table. I'm looking forward to August, though, Graham, aren't you? Getting back in again.
You know, I did go to one of the games that we were allowed in.
You were a booer.
Oh,
don't go there. Don't touch that subject. We've done a whole show without touching on that, and I've dropped it in. Oh, mate.
take that instant out of the equation. The whole thing was surreal to me. It wasn't.
Only Millwall could. I mean, just looking at the Millwall history, we've got like two games of 2,000 people, and from that we've generated this kind of seismic football-wide condemnation. In some ways, I mean, it was tough at the time, but in some ways you have to laugh, because if you don't laugh, you'll cry. It was so Millwall, wasn't it?
you knew it was going to happen,
Yes. There we are.
What I'm trying to say is that hopefully it'll be more, because, you know, will it be? I don't know. I don't think it'll be a full game in August, do you? realistically?
Well, I doubt full capacity. I mean, I've been watching some sport. US have let some in the baseball. They've got some fans in the ground now, but it's much reduced. I mean, you're talking about 8,000 or 9,000 people in a 50,000 seat stadium. So, you're talking about quite low, you know, attendance limits. And I would think it's going to be similar here. I also don't think traveling away is going to be a thing for a little while either. I think that might be one of the restrictions that you see for a while yet. I know people have views out there, but I just think that's the reality of it. I think it'll be a limited home attendance and probably you know, that'll be it, no away travel and all the rest of it. But it'll be nice, even if you can get 5,000 in there, it's going to be something, isn't it? I'm looking forward to it. It's been amazing how much you've missed it, actually.
Yeah, it is. And as you say, we're not TV watching. You've got to be there, you know. And that's part of it, though, isn't it? You know.
Someone made that point. I can't remember which away game. It was like a rugged away win. It might have been Derby. Yeah. Someone made the point that if that had been a rugged, you know, it was a tough watch on the TV because we ground it out and got the win. And if you'd gone there to the game, you'd had the away day kind of experience, and then you're on the trains and driving home, giddy on the back of a 1-0 win at Derby with all the stuff that would have gone on there. That would have been a wonderful match. And I think it's that experience that's been missing for the whole season for a lot of people. And it's intrigued me and amazed me how much I've missed it. And I, sometimes, in the kind of pre-COVID era, I've sat down and thought, well, would you really miss it if you'd watch it on the telly? Would you really miss it? And at least now we have an answer. Yes, you do miss it. And then there's the other side of the coin. Do you really want to get into the VAR sanitised world of the Premier League? But I think we'll save that question for when that might be a real prospect, Graham. Yeah. So I'll get you back on next year, mate.
All I can say is I'm glad VAR's not in the Championship.
Oh, mate, that's one of the curses of modern football. But there we are. We'll save that. As I say, if we're in a playoff run next season, I'll get you back on. We'll save that for then. We'll talk about the ills of the Premier League. Graham, you're at work. I really appreciate your time talking to me this afternoon, mate. It's been wonderful. Good to talk to you. I'm going to try, listeners, and get hold of a few fans that I follow on Twitter. So if you see me popping up in your inbox trying to tout my show and coming on it, then you can either, put me on mute if you don't want to hear from me anymore. You can put me on mute. Or if not, it'd be wonderful to hear from you. So a big thank you to Graham for being game and coming on this afternoon. Thank you, Graham. Appreciate it, mate.
Cheers, mate.
So until the next show, dear listeners, which will be at the weekend. I think we've got Brentford on Saturday. Let's hope it's not a goal fest in the wrong way. Until then, dear listeners, it's arrivederci Millwall from Graham Payne and myself, Nick Hart. So until then, bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Aston Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. Arrivederci Millwall. Till next time.
Who do you want to watch?